Okay. Let's start. We're going to be very practical this session. So I want to start with a question. So you've heard everything today, and you're still going to hear some more. And some of the stuff that you heard today challenged you. Some of the stuff that you heard today, you heard for the second time, the third time. I want to know now that you've heard a lot, what now? Can someone tell me what now? Now that you've heard everything and we've spoken a lot, I mean, what now? Put it in practice. Let's go. Anybody else?
Pray.
And I think it's nature. It's human nature. Because now we have to go and... What is God saying to me? Is what God's saying to me different to what God's saying to the church? How does what He's saying to me fit in with what He's saying to the church? What He's saying to the church, how does it practically apply to me? And from that place, one needs to do ministry in terms of, is my cup running over? That's what I'm going to talk about with you this afternoon, is my cup running over? So, the phrase is coined in Psalms 23 where David says in verse 5, I just want to read verse 5 to you, then you can follow with me. So hold on. David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." So from that place, we want to do ministry. From that place. That's the place where we want to do ministry. If you can write this down, a New Testament equivalent for "my cup runs over" is John chapter 15. "Abide in me and then you'll bear fruit." That's the New Testament equivalent. John chapter 15. "Abide in me, and then you will bear fruit." That's the premise of what John is writing down there. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you spend enough time with me, you'll bear so much fruit, it will be scary. Secondly, Jesus says in John chapter 15, "If you abide in me, I'll also prune you. It will be very painful, but it will be good for you. You'll bear fruit." So practically, we're going to talk about that. And then Jesus also says there's some branches that I'll throw away. Maybe you want to cling on to the branches. "No, God, don't throw it away. Leave it here." But God says, no, you don't need any of them. It will be beneficial if I do this. So that's what we're going to talk about. Cups running over, and from that place, we need to do ministry. I'm trying to do a double whammy here. I'm trying to teach how you do it, and I'm going to try and teach how to disciple it. So I'm going to show you how it cuts both ways. So for me, your cup runs over is in verse 5, but the answer to the rest of the Psalms, that Psalm lies in verse 1. We the shepherds. So now the shepherd says, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's why my cup can overflow." You with me? So, Jen, please take your mic. So how have your week been?
It has been okay. It's been... I don't want to say it's been very busy because I was told not to say that.
No, you can.
My week has been very busy. I've been working a lot of overtime, which I shouldn't really because I'm not paid to do it. But at the same time, it's been very rewarding. I have a patient that I'm seeing, which I have been seeing for a long time, is really sick, but she's getting better, which I'm really grateful for. And for the first time, she was well enough to say thank you, like, for looking after me, which really meant a lot to me. So besides being busy and being tired, there's a lot to be grateful to, yeah.
Does it bother you that they don't pay you for overtime? Sorry, this isn't scripted. This wasn't scripted. It's just I want to know, something.
No, I don't know if that bothers me so much. We are just understaffed, so it just bothers me that I maybe don't have as much help as I should.
Okay. But does it have an impact to you at home and at church?
Definitely. I mean, I come home tired, and I probably don't have enough energy left to treat my husband with as much care and patience as I do my patients.
Okay.
Whereas I should reserve, the best of that probably for him, secondary to God. And in terms of church, it's probably similar. You know, I'm tired from the week at work, and then I have responsibilities at church, and then I'm tired. But again, that should probably take priority, and I don't want to be giving my scraps to what God has called me to do. But want to be able to give my best.
Do you think this is scraps that you're giving now?
Well, I feel like I'm receiving a lot today, more than serving. So no.
And how did you feel Wednesday? When's your small group on a Wednesday?
Wednesday, yeah.
Where is it? I don't even know.
It's been at different places, but it was here on Wednesday.
Oh, was it here? Mm-hmm. How was it?
It was good. It was very good. As Hadkilis was explaining.
Sorry?
No, it really was. As Hadkilis was explaining earlier, I think he'd intended to talk about your sermon that you'd given, which I wasn't here to hear, but I heard was amazing. But we ended up just, as an icebreaker, telling our stories of our lives, and we ended up doing that the whole time. And sorry.
Go for it.
But it was,
he's messing up my season. Go for it.
It was very good. It was a very special time. I learned things about people in my small group that I didn't know. Because we spend so much time together, serving together, but you realize how little we know of each other. And I think that's important. What kind of family we've grown up in, where we were born, those kinds of things. So it was very good. Yeah.
Just, I'm thinking, I'm hearing what you're saying. I like what you're saying. One of the precious prayer times this week that you had, can you just tell me one of them?
It was probably Sunday night. Does that count?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Ed and I, we kind of have put Sunday night aside specifically just to pray for our families. I mean, we try to make time in other times of the week, but things just get so busy, so we're trying to at least do that. So on Sunday nights, we pray together for our families, for their protection, for their salvation.
Anything specific happen on that Sunday that you can think of that stands out? Do you do it on your balcony? Sorry, I'm thinking now because I'm looking at the view. Do you do it outside, or is it too cold?
We did when it was warmer, but not anymore. Now we do it on the couch. Yeah.
Okay. So now it's inside.
Yeah. I can't think of anything.
Have you ever tried snuggling and praying? You should. But only if you're married. That's why Christy's blushing. She's laughing. Look at her. She's blushing. Yes.
It's funny that you say that because... No, but really, I find that the times that Ed and I pray together, we are more attracted to each other.
You are more?
Attracted to each other. I don't know, we'll start praying and then we'll start looking at each other and we'll be like, oh, this is distracting. And I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing.
No, it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. That is, what did Hercules say?
That Ed.
That Ed. Ed the man. Ed the man. So, just tell us anything special that happened on that Sunday. Or was Ed the speciality?
No, I can't think of anything specific now. No, we just felt closer to each other.
Good.
Yeah.
That's really good. You know, for the thanks, Jen, we'll continue. But you know, one of the things that you as a shepherd, flowing from a place of overflowing, must realize is, I found out that she goes to small group, she goes to church, and she and her husband prays. I just found that out now by having a conversation with her. I found out where she hears God's voice just by having a conversation. So I'm excited the fact that she does hear God's voice. Can you see the correlation between what Hercules did on Wednesday? On Wednesday, Hercules said, look, we must start knowing each other. Can you see the correlation when she and her husband prays together that she said, it feels like she knows him. They look at each other. Can you see the correlation? Those are the things that you've got to listen to when you want to know, is people's cup overflowing? So, Jen, to you, it feels like scraps, but it's not. To me, Jen has just shared very valuable information that can change my life. For instance, me and my wife hadn't prayed together this week that regularly. So what she shared brought a conviction, but it's from her place of weakness and vulnerability, but there's strength there. So the first thing what we've got to learn, what the shepherd says, is the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Look, we are designed with a need to meet with God. It's just the world out there, they don't know it. We know it. As the deer pants for water, so my soul searches for you. God, I'm like one who's in a desert place. I'm looking for you. I thirst. There's a need there, and you've got to fulfill their needs by spending time with God. From that place, your cup overflows. But you've got to be deliberate in it. Just like with discipleship. You've got to budget time out for it, and you've got to budget money for it. Now, to spend time with God, I just want to say this. Don't try, when you want your cup to overflow, don't try the way somebody else does it. In other words, if you're the arty type of person, and you can't sit down and read large portions of scripture like I do and make notes in it and stuff, then cut 4 or 5 pieces of scripture out, write it on cardboard, staple it to the trees, just don't let the council see you, and meditate on it under the tree. You hear what I'm saying? But now people want to sit down and they want to force themselves, my cup must flow over. But you know, when they come to verse 4, they just can't, because they can't read that way. But there's something unique to where God made you. And can I say this? God stirs your heart so that you can spend time with him. I always thought God dictated this psalm to David. God didn't dictate this psalm. David, sit down. Now, David, write. The Lord's my shepherd. Now, Lord, I lack nothing. No. David wrote this psalm out of the experience of his life. That's how this psalm came to him. Moses had to go up on a mountain so that they can speak to him for long hours, and he wrote it down. He remembered everything. Isaiah went up into the throne room of God and he saw things there and he had to write it down. Jeremiah sometimes had to tell Baruch, Baruch, write this down. I've received it. John fell down on the island of Patmos as one that was dead and he received revelations. But it's unique to them. And if you want your cup to overflow, we want to make enough room for you to be yourself in how you relate to God. That's the first thing that I want to say. So for instance, if you connect with God digitally better, then do it this way. But you've got to be intentional about it. God calls us, and Hercules spoke about lonely people. God calls lonely people to a place of solitude with Him. Listen to what I'm saying. God calls lonely people to a place of solitude with Him. Once you're with Him, you cannot feel lonely again. And so some of us likes to speak loud to God in our home alone, then do that. Hello God, how are you? Do it that way. But you've got to find that which is important. The second thing that I want you to notice is where she also heard God's voice. She heard God's voice in small group. It's also a place where she can learn to receive so that a cup can overflow. So I'm doing a double whammy here. You can also then someone saying, you know, when it has intercession, people are thinking, okay, they go to intercession. That's where their cup's also being filled. That is the place where God speaks to us collectively. That's where your cup overflows. That is where we know that God is our shepherd. It's interesting, the Lord is my shepherd. I've done some research on that word. It's actually a political word most of the times in the Old Testament, which means politically, financially, emotionally, God must be your shepherd. And as long as He's your shepherd, whatever He gives you then, whatever He gives you, you will lack nothing. You hear what David's saying? It's the same as in with John. So you must put time aside for God in your unique way, but also corporately. And the way you disciple that is by talking with people. Just follow me here. So now I know Jen can hear God's voice. So when I talk with people, the first thing that I want to hear, can they hear God's voice? That's all. That's the base. If you can hear God's voice, that's the starting point. That's why I also want to hear what God's saying to unbelievers. So atheists has told me a lot of nonsense, but I know it was God speaking. I can just hear from what they're saying, okay, God has been cornering him. But in his mind, it can't be God, you know, because God doesn't exist. But no, it doesn't work like that. So now I've determined, yes, Jen can hear God's voice. I've now determined that Jen is very tired. It is very challenging. It is very tough. But I know Jen is in a place where she is being filled with God. And I can encourage her. So would you please pass the mic to Christy? This also isn't scripted. So Chris, tell me, from what you heard God was saying to you this week, what do you think, where is He heading with you?
That's a loaded question, isn't it?
It is a very loaded question, yes.
How much context do you want me to give?
You can go as much as you feel comfortable with.
Okay, cool. Just very quickly, just what God's been speaking to me about. I went out last night for my birthday, and the first place we went to was quite cheap and cheerful, and there were some unsavory characters there, and in some ways I was quite ashamed, in a way, to be there. And there was one lady shouting profanities and going a bit crazy, and I wanted to get away as far as away from her that I could. Anyway, subsequently while we were there, the kitchen closed, so then we ended up having to go to a different place, and the restaurant there had much nicer characters. And I was like, I feel at home here. But after, when I got home, I felt so convicted, because when I was leaving the first restaurant, the lady that had been going a bit crazy in the first restaurant was just sitting outside on the bench. And when I got home, the Lord just said to me, like, who is it that I'm trying to save? You know, who needs me? Who's the one that needs the doctor? And obviously it's the lady who was sitting out. And I was just so convicted by the fact that, you know, where am I positioning myself, and who is it that we're actually trying to reach? And
I don't know where God is taking me, but I'm clearly on a journey. And yeah, like God has given us a heart for the lost and for the broken. So, yeah.
Okay. Can you understand Christy's question this morning to Hercules? A bit clearer now? You see, as a shepherd, you have to pick up. You have to hear why. You have to hear the heart. It's a good, but it's a painful process. It's a heartbreaking process because our hearts break for the people. I mean, has it ever happened to you that you look into somebody's eyes and your heart just breaks? The way they sit or the way they look. And just for one uncontrollable. I can remember, Christy, I was driving home after dropping the girls at school in South Africa one day. And as I came close to my home, I pressed on the remote to open the gate. And the lady that was busy in her bins for looking for food, the gate must have frightened her. And she looked up and I caught her eyes, but that vulnerable, embarrassed look in her eyes, it still haunts me to this day. I'll never forget it. She's got confidence to look for food in a bin. And then I had to wrestle it through with God. But what I'm trying to show you as shepherds here, as cups running over. Yes, Christy can hear God's voice. But the other thing that I'm seeing that I need to stay accountable to her is God is challenging her to do something. So that's the second thing. Am I listening to how people are hearing God's voice? Yes, they can. Secondly, what is God telling them to do? Because, listen to me carefully, if you want your cup to run over, if you can hear God's voice and you do what He says, you will be successful in life. That's where success in life starts. You hear what I'm saying? And so I'm trying to show you how your cup runs over. But I'm also trying to show you how to disciple it, just through conversation. So, there's a scripture in John chapter 15, verse 11. I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Are you with me? Verse 10 then says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's command and remain in love. I have spoken these things to you, says God. So God says, if you want joy, you've got to hear my voice. All of us want joy, isn't it so? Happiness is, it depends. You see, joy doesn't depend on outside circumstances. If our country's rugby team loses, I don't feel happy. I'm honest. For a few minutes after that, I'm miserable. But that doesn't steal my joy. Yeah, with a new coach, we're in trouble, Hercules. We're in serious trouble. We're going to play them again. But on that day, I'll scream for the team that wins. You know what I'm saying? So our happiness, Jen, your tiredness may go, but do you have joy because you've been obedient? I want to just show you another beautiful scripture. I hope I'm sorry. As he was saying these things, a woman from the crowd raised a voice and said to him, the womb that bore you and the one who nursed you blessed, the lady from whose breasts you drank milk, she must be blessed. Huh? This woman was very deep. And then Jesus said, even more those who hear the word of God and keep and do it. It's like Jesus has come back, but you know what? Who's more blessed? The one that hears my voice and do what I says. If we want our cups to run over, we've got to make space to hear God's voice, but then also do it. And as a shepherd, in conversation, we need to establish, where did you hear God's voice this week? I know where both of them heard God's voice this week. Now I hear what they need. I know what they need to do. Now I must keep them accountable to it. Are you with me? But it's in life. It's in conversation. You with me, Jen? It's not I'm having this controlling or manipulative thing over you. No. It's just in conversation. I can see where you're at. I can see where God's challenging you. Our cups are running over. So we are taking deliberate time out to do this with people and alone. One of the things that God told me right now in this season, there's a few things, but one of the things that I remember, I said to him, God, there's certain frustrations you are not taking it away. You are not taking it away from me, God. I feel you're not helping me. I told God, and you know what God said? I enjoy the way you wrestle with me much more than you appreciate it. Should I say it again? God enjoys the way we wrestle with Him for things much more than we can ever imagine. He loves it. And so we just want it over. We just want this to go over and it must be quick. And He says no. Because I'm spending time with you and it's breaking your heart. I know it's breaking your heart, but I'm here. Are you with me? We're talking about cup running over. We're talking about God imparting beautiful things. The other thing that God has been saying to me, and I hear it from you as well, but just in another way, God told me and Almarie, Carlos, you must create spaces so that the people of the nation can serve you. Don't preach the gospel to them. Just sit and receive from them. And so amazing things have been happening since I've been doing it. One of the questions that you asked was, how are we going to reach these people? I believe one of the answers God's given me, it won't be the same for you necessarily, but one of the answers He says, allow the people to serve you. Cup running over. We're talking cup running over principles. And I'm trying to be as practical as possible. All right. Please give the mic to Ian. So Ian, God has been speaking to no man. It's challenging. But how are you finding church life now? Seeing that you have to drive 45 minutes to church every Sunday. How do you find it?
It's long. Yeah, it's far.
It's very long. Huh?
So in a way, feel... Yeah, don't feel disconnected because I know that... I know that God is... the time that I'm spending... with God is confirming our time together on, say, a Sunday morning. Mm. So that reinforces the fact that I still, that sense of family, that sense of unity. Yeah, but it is far.
It is far. I can hear you. But isn't it nice really what He says, but the time He spends with God, God confirms it on a Sunday. Isn't it beautiful that God just, speaks to these people? And practically, what do you think is God saying to you about the church now? Practically, what do you think?
Sure. Yeah, that's... Yeah, we're in a place of... Obviously, we're going to be moving and we plan to move to Guildford. But, that's... Personally, that's in a place of limbo. So, what does that mean for the church?
What does it mean for your relationship with the church? What does that mean for your relationship?
Well, our relationship with the church is obviously more extended, is mm-hmm. what it means. So, in a sense, where you would see, like if we lived in Guildford, our relationship would be with Guildford Church predominantly.
Mm.
And then, you know, the wider relationship would be, I guess, more kind of on the periphery.
Mm-mm-mm.
Whereas at the moment, I would say our relationship is primary with London Church, with Guildford Church, also with our local church that we know from, you know, relationships that we've had with people in Egham.
Yeah.
So we're trying to make contact with them again and still see them from time to time.
Mm.
Okay. So, yeah, I'd say what it means for us is that from a church perspective, our church is more spread out and wider.
This man's deeper. Now, if you haven't spoken to him, you won't realize those are the things that he's talking through with God. Now, that's a good sign for me. So what am I trying to show? If you can hear God's voice, if you do what God says, then success can start. Then you've got to determine what is the practical outcome for that obedience in church life. Your obedience to God must somewhere have a praxis practically. And so that's a conversation that he's wrestling through. But I have to sit down and we have to sit down and talk to each other. Or he has to talk with a friend. Look, you say, how is this going to work for you? You know, Carlos, at this stage, to drive through for small group is just too much. Okay, Ian, I do understand. So, but Carlos, I know God's saying we must reach people here in the community. Okay, Ian, how can we support you there? Do you want to encounter one books? Do you want to do Bible school there, Ian? We'll start a Staines campus. And Ian Margo will wrestle through, is it a Staines or an Egham campus? But that's for them to argue. You know? But now, God's doing something there. And as a leader, I want to support what God's doing in his life. But can you see, God's still saying something about the community there. Who many of you feels like, Ian, in one part of your life, it feels like it's in limbo? He's torn between three congregations. One year he has to help, one day he needs to drive the son, and then one there with his help. And then you start realizing when you start talking to people and shepherding, there's this place of limbo. How does it practically influence your life in church? God's obedience. We're still talking cup flowing over. Are you seeing how practical I'm trying here to be? And I'm enjoying it. You know, and for you as leaders, can I just say this? I have to be very careful of myself. Sometimes we think we're sharing vision, but we're imparting frustration. We think we're sharing vision, but we're actually imparting our frustration. You've got to go with your frustration to the secret place where you can say to God, God, this burden, please let me impart it in a correct way. Otherwise, you make people despondent. And you've got to notice where God's at with people. So the last thing, Lara, I'm going to have to talk to you. Thanks, Ian. Appreciate it. Thanks, Chris. So Lara.
Hello.
You also travel a lot, eh?
Yes.
How long does a journey take you here again?
It differs with public transport. If I am running very late and I take a taxi, it's about 20 minutes. but they end up being expensive. So probably about an hour. About an hour.
Okay. And do you have a license?
Yes.
Can you drive?
Yes.
You must show us one day, please. We really, if we all just stand outside and just come past us, and come back. I just want to see it. It would be very nice.
Sure.
To see if you're so elegant behind the car wheel, like you behind the piano.
Sounds a little bit too loud now. Yeah.
So okay. Tell me, the people that you're staying with, how they're doing.
Trying to see how much. I think it is a very complicated situation. Both parents have been promoted into jobs, and with within their jobs and in the promotion, they are having to spend less time at home, which creates a space that is pretty emotionally stressful on the kids.
And on you?
On me as well, because I think it's not an environment where I can easily share how I feel, because I need to monitor exactly how much pressure I can put onto them for needing support, and how much I must actually be quiet and support them in that.
I'm seeing this picture, sorry. Can you draw a line from what's happening here to home?
From here?
From here, church. What's happening in church? Can you draw a line from what's happening in church to what God wants you to do in the home?
I'm not sure.
Can you link what's happening in church to what's happening at home? In another way, what God's saying here in church? Is there a link between what God's saying here in church and what should be happening at their home, or what you should be happening at home? Like, or how, doing?
I should be able to. I think I need to tailor make it to my situation and find out how I can do it.
Mm.
And I don't have the answer for that yet, but it should be able to be transferred to both, yes.
Do you know why I'm asking you that?
No. Why?
I'll tell you. If you tell all of us. So when you can, when you hear God's voice and you do what it says, you become successful. It has practical implications for you, like in Ian's case. But it doesn't stop there. It also has practical implications for the community where you live in. And if we are successful in all four of those areas, it's just an amazing thing that God does. And we know that through conversation. You're with me. So sometimes it's so challenging that we don't have answers. Here's the thing that I want to share with you. That burden, that frustration, that I don't know, that's a good thing to go to God with. And you continue in it. Because from that place, your cup will run over. You see, we think of our cups running over when loads of other things run over, but that's not the way God sees it. Our cups run over when we just on a practical level can share where we are at, what we need to do and how we need to do it, and we need people to help us. And we have the freedom to express on our knees where we are at. We allow other people to speak into our lives, and we wrestle those things through with each other. From that place, our cups run over. But it starts with a commitment to sit down with God and to talk with God about it. I'll never forget, there was a farmer that I used to go see in Vista regularly. He wasn't even in our church, but he wanted a relationship with me. I can never forget when I got to him. His name was Alvin. I said, Alvin? Alvin, he was an elderly gentleman. He could have been my father. You know what he said to me one day when things were tough in his business? He just said to me, you know what, Carlos? The other day when I was praying, God was just saying to me, Alvin, I'm waiting for you at the vineyard where you used to pray. I'm still standing there. You've walked away from our sacred place. I need you to come back. Hear what I'm saying? Don't let God have this conversation with us. I'm waiting for you, Sally. I've been waiting for you. I've always been waiting for you, Sally. Just come and sit down and talk with me. Because from that place, God will impart all his fullness. He'll speak to us at intercession. He'll speak to us at small group. He'll speak to us at church. He'll speak to us at the conversation. He'll speak to us. We need to be open to hear it. And then do what he says. And what we say will have practical implications for our life, but also practical implications for our communities. And from that place of fullness and the uniqueness where he's with you at this stage, your cup will overflow. But if you run away from all of that, my cup can't overflow. It's impossible to overflow. Virtually impossible. So the tension that you're feeling, that I'm sensing, it's a God-given tension. Don't run away from it. Talk about it. We can cry together about it. We can laugh about it. We can challenge each other about it. But in your unique way, connect with God. One of my friends, just before we came, he's an accountant. He found out that he needed medication for him to concentrate. And it was a long, they only found it out after he was an accountant. So he wanted to study further as a chartered accountant. So he told me, look, they're giving me meds now, but it's helping me to concentrate. And he just said it was such a challenge for him always to sit down and read the Bible. And nobody ever told him, well, you don't have to. You can take the U Bible and you can press play and you can listen to it. You try. You can actually listen to the whole Bible. It's been tested in 72 hours uninterruptedly. So if you've got 72 hours, you can do the whole Bible, Ian, man. You know, and for Ian that likes painting, why doesn't he go and paint what God's saying to him? Just rough sketches and write scriptures. There's so many ways the way God's done us. If you want to dance, dance the scriptures. But from that place, our cups are overflowing. So just the four things. Spending time with God, hearing His voice, doing what He says. What are the practical implications in your life? And what are the practical implications in church and your life, and the practical implications in your community? And if you can disciple that and you can work around that, let's pray. Father, we just pray, we bring our unique challenges before you. But we can hear you saying the same things to us. We can sense it there, and for everyone, we're at that place. But God, you're going to break through that frustration. You're going to break through for that challenge that you are laying before us. And it will bring life and life in abundance. And that's why, God, we encourage one another this morning not to become despondent, but to share life and life in abundance. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Hercules, yes.